morning. If you have your Bibles, you're going to follow along. We'll be in the book of Luke and chapter 9 this morning.
We're going to spend all of our time there, Luke chapter 9. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just say welcome to everyone who's here this morning. I hope you all are having a good week so far. We do have several visitors with us. We're thankful that you're here. We do have several people sick, and we're still in that time of the year where the warmth is almost here, but we still have some people that are not with us, that are not feeling well. And we also have some people out of town, lots of people traveling. We also have Bert and Jerry, who are preaching the gospel out of the country, which is always great, and they're doing well. And Jerry's been sharing some updates with us. They were singing in a banana plantation and visiting sick. It's just, I mean, awesome work going on. And Hannah Ruth, she get there safely yesterday? Good. Hannah Ruth in Mexico, she got there safely yesterday. So some good things going on, and people traveling and sick, and we just want to keep everyone in our prayers. There was a true story of a man who heard the words that no one wanted to hear when his wife was laying in a hospital bed. The doctor came out of the room and simply said, "She's not breathing anymore." It was devastating to him. That was the love of his life, his best friend. And it kind of sent him into a tailspin. He stopped showing up for work. He began feeling depressed. He loved his wife, and she was now gone. And day after day, it seemed like the days got longer, the weeks got longer, the months got longer, and he wasn't going out with his family anymore. He wasn't getting out of the house much. Like I said, he kind of stopped going to work, and he eventually was fired from his job. He had some neighbors that kept asking him to come to church. Would you come to church with us? And would you come to worship? Would you come to a Bible study? And he kept saying no, and he never wanted to go. He didn't want to do anything. Eventually, he turned to alcohol. And every night, he found himself in a different bar. And night after night, he found himself drinking more and more and more, and he became an alcoholic. Until one morning, he woke up, and he decided, "Today I'm going to die." And so that day, he took himself to a bar, and he drank all day. And that night when the bar closed, he went out to his car, he pulled out a gun, and he shot himself in the head. You know, when we think of how life can often go, sometimes the easy thing to do is to give up. And when we think about how difficult the roads are, when we think about how difficult all the paths are in life, the easy thing to do sometimes is just to say, "I've had enough." To throw in the towel. To say, "I can't do this anymore." And to find a way to make it stop. You know, we looked a couple weeks ago at a story in John chapter 6 where Jesus fed the 5,000. And they were all so excited because they were fed and their bellies were full. And when they went and found Jesus again, wanting more food and wanting more bread, he had some difficult things for them to hear. And you remember what the text said in John chapter 6? That day, many of his disciples turned away and followed him no more. When things got difficult for his followers, they decided just find another way. Find an easier way. And just give up on what they had been doing with Jesus. Last week we looked at the idea of who we are in Christ. That when we have put on the name of Christ and when we wear the name Christian, we belong to Him. We have to know who we are in order to know where we're going. This morning we're going to start a series. I don't do many series, but this one has hit me deep. Because I've just been, as we've been studying upstairs and finding our faith, and as I've been reading some different things for that, one theme comes up over and over and over and over again when it comes to who I am in Christ, and that is, this is not easy. And I keep asking the question, if you remember, we've looked at several different statistics in our upstairs Bible class, and if you haven't been in there, I'm going to share a couple with you. One is that 89% of Americans will consider themselves Christians. Consider themselves followers of Christ. But yet we have 7 out of 10 young people. Nothing against young people. I'm not picking on young people. It's just what the statistics say. 7 out of 10 young people will leave the faith when they graduate high school. churches in the last 15 years, 10% of conservative churches of Christ, at least, those are the numbers that I'm referring to, have closed their doors over the last 15 years. And overall membership has declined by 12% over the last 15 years. And I keep asking this question in my mind, why do all the numbers suggest that in another 10, 15 years, 20, 30 years, there's going to be no more church? If that many people are leaving the faith, but yet that many people, 89%, consider themselves Christians, what's going on? And I think it goes back to something that Jesus says here in Luke chapter 9. Because when things get difficult, when things get hard, when we face challenges for the first time maybe we've never faced before, when somebody asks us a question we don't know the answer to, or when life just gets difficult, it's easy to find another way. It's easy to just stop and just to give up. Here's what Jesus asks us in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 21, but you'll see the verse we're talking about here in just a moment. Jesus says in verse 21, He strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Then He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and the holy angels." You know, we read those first few verses. There's a reason I started in verse 21. And it's because Jesus said something first about Himself. He says, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, He says, I'm going to have to suffer a lot of things. You know, back in that day when a rabbi, that's what Jesus was, a rabbi, a teacher, when they gathered together a group of followers, it was a good thing. And rabbis were held in high honor, that they were viewed as a little higher up in society. And the people that were chosen to follow Him, we would refer to Jesus' followers as His 12 apostles. Well, that's something special. And so you would have these rabbis walking around town, held in high honor, and their followers following right behind Him. And they're learning from their rabbi. They're listening to the rabbi, and the rabbi would quiz them. And it was an honor to be a follower of a rabbi. And so here Jesus is telling His followers, you want to know what this rabbi is going to do? Well, I have to go suffer some things. In fact, I'm going to be given into the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, and you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be killed. I'm going to have to suffer a lot, and I'm going to be killed, but I'll be raised up on the third day. That sounds like someone worth following, doesn't it? Someone who says, hey, if you follow Me, guess what? I'm gonna die. I'm telling you right now, I'm predicting, I'm gonna suffer. This road is not going to be easy for Me, your rabbi. And it's gonna be a difficult road. It's gonna be a long road, and it's gonna be a road of suffering and pain, and it's eventually gonna lead to death. Would that make you want to follow this rabbi? Oh, but He doesn't stop there, because as you see in the next verse, and I'm going to put this on the screen because this is where we're focusing this morning. He says, and if anyone desires to come after Me, if anyone's going to follow Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. So not only does He say, if you follow Me, the rabbi, if you're going to be one of My followers, just know that I'm going to have to go suffer a lot of things, and I'm going to be turned in, and I'm going to be killed. But if anyone else desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Now, at this point, if you were a follower of the rabbi Jesus in the first century world, would you say, sign me up, Jesus? That sounds like a great way to go. It sounds like this path we're on is heading towards stardom. I picked the right rabbi to follow. Or maybe would you start questioning like the people did in John chapter 6? Is this really the way I want to go? Is this really the life I want to live? Is this really the teacher I want to follow? But yet, this is the same thing he asks of every single one of us. Because he says a few things there, as we'll focus on this morning, that's not just to those followers there, but it's to all people who choose to follow Jesus. First, he gives us a call to discipleship. That if anyone wants to come after me, he's calling us to be his disciples. We have this word that we use in our society and in our religious society called the invitation. This is it. That when we offer an invitation, and I'm going to offer one in a little bit at the end, and I don't know if you'll want to come forward after what I might say a little bit today. I hope you do. And we offer invitations on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights because that's when we're gathered together here. But Jesus, it's Jesus' invitation that he offered. And this is it. And this is what he's inviting us to. He calls us to be his disciple. And he says, if anyone. And he starts by saying, who is welcome to be my disciple? And notice before he has his quote, in verse 23 it says, he said to them all. All those people that were following him, we know at some points in his ministry had 5,000 people following him. As we read a couple weeks ago in John chapter 6. And so he turns to them all and he says, if anyone. I want to ask a question here. Because this is what's gotten to me a little bit as I've studied some of these things. When you think, when I think of a disciple of Christ, does a certain image come to your mind? When you think of a follower of Jesus, does a certain image come to your mind? Do you think of someone like the preacher? Who wears on Sunday a coat and a tie? Do you think of someone like yourself sitting on a pew? You're dressed a little nicer than maybe you would on a normal weekday or on a Saturday. You get up, you clean shaven for the guys. We put on our nice dresses and our nice coats. Do we have an image of what we think a Christian should be? Should look like? Do we have an image in our minds of when we look out those windows and then we see that there's a world of people? That there may or may not be some people out there that don't fit the image I have in my mind of what a Christian should be? And what I mean by that is, when I look at people out in our society, am I saying they don't fit the image I have in my mind of who could follow Jesus? They might be a little too poor. They live on that side of town, and that's a side of town that is probably not so good. I don't think I can invite those people. I know they can be Christians if they choose to be. It's just they might be a better Christian if they were from somewhere else. Or the other side of that, those people probably make too much money. They would never want to do what I do. Bible talks about that the love of money is the root of all evil. So they could probably never come down to my level and be the Christian that I am. Those people over there have a different color skin than I do. And that different color skin is a little different than the image I have in my mind of what a Christian should be, at least at this church. Those people go to that school. They work in this field. Whatever the situation is, do we have something in our minds that when we look at someone, we say, I don't know if they're ready. I don't know if they can be. I want to tell you a story of a lady. She was a young lady in her 20s, and she said she always felt called to a certain group of people. She always felt called to go teach to a certain group of people, and that certain group of people is somebody that none of us, at least I don't think any of us, I can only really speak for myself, but I wouldn't dream of going into a place like this. She said, I always felt sorry for ladies in strip clubs. And so she took it upon herself to start a foundation. It was just her and her friends at church. And they lived in an area with several strip clubs. And she said, what we would do is we would go earlier in the night before everything got started that evening. And we would all get together in one of our kitchens. We would bake a southern style meal, is how she described it in her story. And she said, and we would go knock on the door and we would go sit with these girls earlier in the evening. We'd just bring them food. And we'd sit, and she goes, we would even do their hair for them because it meant we can talk to them. She says, we talk to them about Jesus. We invite them to church. She said, at last count, this is a story was written several, about 5 years ago, at last count, 15 of them had left their jobs, started coming to church. But yet, those kinds of people probably don't fit my image of who could follow Jesus. But it took one person to knock down the walls and say what Jesus says is, anyone. If anyone. Because all that's needed here, what Jesus says is, if anyone desires. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. It doesn't matter how much money. It doesn't matter what side of town they live on. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what their current profession is. But if their desire is to follow Jesus, now we'll get to what we need to do if we're really going to follow Him in a minute. But if there's a desire, then who am I to withhold the message of Jesus from anyone in this society? From anyone in this world. And it has to be a choice that you and I make. We have to desire to follow Jesus, to be one of His disciples. Paul would write in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Spirit's fire. That's passion. How many of us can say that when we woke up this morning, we were excited and passionate to come and serve God because I'm one of His disciples? There's a lot of people, as I said earlier, 89% of Americans consider themselves Christians, and there's a lot of passionate people that want to serve Christ. That's almost one of the easy things, to be passionate about it. Now, we'll talk about what happens to that passion in just a minute when he asks us to do some difficult things. But he says, if anyone, that's anyone, can come to him and follow him, if anyone desires to come after me, we have to follow Jesus, to be a disciple and follower, belonging to him. And this is the call that Jesus gives to every single person that has ever walked this planet. That if you desire to come after him, you can. That's the invitation that he gives. The question is, how will we answer this invitation? That when he says, if you desire to come after me, you can. However, here's how we need to answer the call. What does it look like? How do we become a true follower of somebody after Jesus? He says, first and foremost, it's going to take denying yourself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. There's a reason I started in verse 21. And it's because I've said this several times from this pulpit, but Jesus never asks us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. And Jesus showed, before he asked any of us to deny ourselves, if we're going to follow him and deny ourselves, he says, I want you to know that I'm going to suffer. That I'm going to die. Paul writes in the book of Philippians that he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, yet he gave up those things to come here and walk as man walked and to die, even the death of the cross, Paul would say. You talk about denying himself. Jesus did that to the fullest extent. He denied himself probably some pleasures that you and I enjoy on a daily basis. He denied himself family. But yet his family was those who wanted to follow him. He denied himself sin. Remember, we've talked about before, sin is fun. That's why it's called a temptation. You're not tempted to eat something you don't like. I'm not tempted to eat a plate full of beans. But man, there was Girl Scouts outside of Lowe's yesterday, and I was tempted to buy several boxes of those cookies. They're not a sin to eat. They should be, but they're not. But why is it a temptation? Because they're good. Sin is fun. And it feels good. Yet Jesus denied himself. He never gave in. And it's the same thing he asks you and I to do as well. If we're going to truly follow Jesus, he says deny. That person has to deny himself. We have to deny ourselves. It might mean, as we've also studied in a couple weeks ago, it might mean that we deny ourselves of family relationships that are holding us back spiritually. That anyone who leaves father or mother or spouse or children or brother or sister for my name's sake, remember he said that? It might mean we have to deny ourselves relationships. It might mean we have to deny ourselves the friends that we've held on to for so long that we love because we've known them since elementary school and I just can't give them up. But it might mean we have to. It might mean that we have to give up certain activities that eat away at the time we're supposed to be together as a church family. It might mean being late to the ball field. It might mean skipping a game. I'll never forget, I've told you this story before. I did not like mom and dad when they sat us down and told us, you're going to miss some hockey games because they're on Sunday. I wanted to play hockey. Denying ourselves is extremely difficult. But as we looked at in his call, he says there has to be a desire. When we truly desire a discipleship with Jesus, to follow Jesus, denying ourselves won't be so difficult. Because there's a desire to follow. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if we desire to keep his commandments and follow him, then we will be willing to deny ourselves. We'll be willing to deny the friendships maybe we shouldn't have. We'll be willing to deny ourselves to go certain places we shouldn't go, or to say certain things, or to whatever the situation is. We'd be more willing because we desire to follow Jesus. But we have to desire that relationship. He says, if you're going to answer this call, you're not only going to deny yourself, but it's time to take up his cross. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This cross, of course, as we've studied so often here at this congregation, this cross was a cross of humiliation, of humility, of humbleness. It was a cross that brought death, that Jesus himself said just a few verses earlier, I'm going to die. And Jesus is asking us to die to ourself, which is deny himself. He's asking us to die to sin. He wants us to die with him. The book of Romans in chapter 6 says, as many of us have put on the waters of baptism, have died with him in baptism, have been buried in baptism, have also died to sin. That he is asking us to die. Now this is where it gets a little more difficult. I said earlier at the beginning, there's a lot of people. A lot of people that would consider themselves Christians in our religious society today. But how many people, and I have to ask this question myself, so I'm not poking fun at anybody else but myself. How many people could say that when they wake up in the morning, they say, today I'm going to die for Jesus. Because that's what he's asked me to do. I'm willing to take up my cross. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to die. I'm going to die to sin. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to humble myself. But this wasn't just a cross of death and humiliation. It was a cross of surrender. That Jesus surrendered himself to the will of God. As he was praying in the garden, he said, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was saying, "This is not about me. This is about the will of God." He would say, "Do you think at any moment I could ask my Father to send me a legion of angels and he would do it?" But he surrendered himself to going through with God's plan. When Jesus says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross," he's saying, "Surrender yourself." Now this is a little more difficult, and probably where many people, if they were told this by Jesus, their rabbi, it's when many people would start turning away. Because to ask us to die to ourselves, to give up the things that I enjoy in this world, to give up certain friends and family members, to give up, to humble myself, to surrender myself to somebody else, when I am a grown man and I have my own thoughts, I have my own opinions, I have my own house, maybe you run your own company, whatever it is, we say, "I make my own decisions." But yet Jesus says, "Surrender. Give yourself to me." There's a reason he uses the same illustrations. Paul uses the same illustrations of a husband and wife with Christ in the church. And we want to fuss all day on what it means for a wife to submit to her husbands, like we read about in Ephesians chapter 5. And we say, "Well, wives, we have a say." And I think you do. And it's a team. And you need to work together as a married couple. But what he's saying is, Christ is the head of the church. And you and I, as his followers, as his disciples, we're going to surrender ourselves to our head. We're going to surrender ourselves to him. And deny ourselves. Why? Because I love him. Because I love Jesus. Brian had a good talk on that love, sacrificial action. Jesus did that for us. Here's my question. Are we willing to do it for him? Isn't that what he's asking us here to do? Deny ourselves, take up our cross, that same cross that he would literally carry on his back and be put to death on. Are we ready to do that same thing? To make that difficult decision to take up our cross and die, but not just to take up our cross, but to do it daily? Many people will look at their choice to follow and following Jesus as just a one-time decision. We say, "How many of you have decided to follow Jesus?" Well, I have. I'll never forget that day. I've been thinking about it for quite some time. I was 17 years old. We were at our home congregation in Southern California in the city of Brea, and I remember, I don't even know what the sermon was about that day, because I just knew I'm gonna probably go forward. And that morning, I made the choice to give my life completely to Christ. And I went forward. I sat on the front pew. My eyes were filled with tears. My dad baptized me in a baptistry, much like this one. I made the choice to follow Jesus. And there are several people here in this room that can recall their story almost the same way. Maybe you weren't baptized in a baptistry like this, but maybe it was a swimming pool. Maybe it was a little creek. Whatever day you have in mind, if that is the only day we have decided to follow Christ, we have failed miserably at what he's asked us to do. He's not asking us to make a one-time decision to say, "Follow me." He's asking us to make a daily decision to follow him. Now, how many of you, myself included, because I didn't, even though I knew what I was going to be preaching on, isn't that so sad? How many of us woke up this morning and said, today I decide to follow Jesus? It's not a daily decision we make, or at least we tell ourselves. That's exactly what he asks us to do. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily. A daily death and a daily surrender. It's probably the hardest step of this call that Jesus makes, because it's not just a one-time decision. It's admitting that for the rest of my life, for every single day that I'm going to live here on this earth, I'm going to serve and surrender myself to the will of God. A daily decision. And then he says, follow me. Can I suggest that we cannot truly follow Jesus unless we have done the steps above? That we can wear the name Christian all we want. We can call ourselves a Christian all we want. But I cannot truly follow Jesus if I am not denying myself, taking up my cross, and doing it daily. That's what Jesus asks us to do. Yet unfortunately, it's what so many people aren't willing to do. Just like those people when things got tough in John chapter 6, when the teachings got tough, they turned away and followed him no more. That man at the beginning that I told you about, he got into his car after he'd spent all day at that bar. He woke up that morning and said, today, I'm going to die. He took a gun, he put it to his head, and he pulled the trigger. He opened his eyes in a hospital bed. And once he realized what had happened, he had shot himself in the head, fully intending on taking his life. But by some, as we would call it, some miracle, he opened his eyes in the hospital, alive. He sat for days in that hospital, contemplating in his mind when he'd have another opportunity to try again. Until those neighbors came to visit him in the hospital. Those neighbors that, remember, were inviting him to church during his difficult time, and he always refused. And they came and they visited and they said, would you please come with us to church? At this point, the man felt like he had nothing to lose. And so he went. When he was able to get his strength and leave the hospital, he went with them to church one time. Since then, he has made the decision to obey the gospel, to follow Jesus. But he said something in his story, and I put the quote at the bottom of the bulletin of the lesson portion. He wanted to die. He woke up one morning saying, today is the day I'm going to die. But now he says, now I die daily. In reference to this verse. It was no longer about him. Did he miss his wife? Absolutely. Did he still have the pain? Absolutely. But he found greater joy in following Jesus. He woke up one morning ready to take his life, and by some miracle was spared his life here on earth. And because of that, and because of someone inviting him to church and teaching him what it means to truly follow Jesus, he says, now I die daily. Not the death that he had in mind once before, but the death that Jesus asked him to die. By denying himself, taking up his cross, and following Jesus. If I were to ask anybody here this morning, if you're willing to die this morning, a lot of you would give me some pretty awkward looks and might even walk out. But that's exactly what Jesus is inviting us to do. This is that invitation I told you I'd get to at the end of the lesson. That he says, if anyone desires to come after me. And I want you to think right now in your heart of hearts, do you desire Jesus? There are a lot of people here who have desired to follow Jesus and have given their life to him through the waters of baptism. But there might be someone here this morning who has that desire and just hasn't answered the call and answered the invitation that Jesus has given. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to take up that cross. But here's where we're going with this study. I told you this is going to be a series, and I don't do many series, but I want you to skip to the end of chapter 9. Skip to the end of chapter 9, and I'm going to read to you about three people. Listen to what three people said to Jesus. It says in verse 57 of Luke 9, "Now what happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And then Jesus said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to them, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" When Jesus asks us to follow him, I want you to notice what he does with these three people that wanted to follow Jesus. That if you and I are going to take up our cross, and over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at what it means to take my cross wherever I go. That if I'm going to follow Jesus, and he says, take up your cross, this man said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever I go." But Jesus finds out he wasn't really willing to go wherever. "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my Father." Are we willing to follow Jesus and take up our cross whenever he asks us to? "Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first, let me go and bid them farewell at my house." Jesus says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Are we willing to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus? That's the call. That's the invitation that Jesus is asking us if we want to follow. Are we willing to take up our cross wherever Jesus asks us to go? Are we willing to take up our cross whenever he wants us to go? Are we willing to take up our cross and do whatever it takes to preach the kingdom of God? I think these lessons are going to be hard lessons to hear for myself. But this is what he asks us to do. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Do you desire to follow Jesus? You want to come after him this morning? It's time to deny yourself. Repent of those sins that so easily entangle us, that hold us back. Take up your cross. Surrender to his will today. Put to death the old man of sin in the waters of baptism and rise in newness of life and be washed clean of all those sins and then follow him. Follow him wherever, whenever, and do whatever it takes, because he is the way to eternal life. Do you need to respond to his invitation this morning? You can come forward as we stand, as we sing.